Turn to the book of Titus and turn to Titus chapter 1. And I want to teach to you this morning on some folks profess to be saved and they do not possess Jesus Christ. There's some folks go around saying, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm born again, and they are not. Now, Christian, you need to know about them, because you're trying to witness and win a soul to Jesus Christ, and you want to know there's a difference between them, and why they're that way. So, if you will, Titus chapter 1, let's begin in verse 16. Now, take your pen and underline some things in your Bible. It's all right to mark your Bible. Don't worry about marking it. You're to mark it, because then you can memorize the Bible better. I've memorized thousands of verses of Scripture by little marks that I have on it. A little heart over here, and a little hand over here, and a foot over here, and all kinds of little pictures I drew in my Bible. But it makes it stay better up in here. So I've gotten it off the page into my heart by marking it. So mark your Bible. Titus chapter 1. In verse 16 it says, They, so circle the they in your Bible, circle it. They profess, that means they tell people this. That means it comes out their mouth, they talk it. They profess that they know God. So they say they're born again. But in works, they deny Him. Now, you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved as a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. Amen? Now, do you all believe that, or just one or two of you? You're saved by a free gift. Amen. All right. But here it says they profess to be saved, but by works they deny Him. Now, I want you to see who it's talking about. So, take your pen and circle the they in verse 16. And draw a line back up to verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving. So underline the word unbelieving in verse 15 and draw a line down to the they of verse 16. So it says unbelieving. That's the unsaved. So it's they of verse 16, the unsaved people, the unbelievers. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny Him. Now, who is that can be? You go out there in California, and you can go to a church out there in California where the whole church is full of nothing but queers, and all of them profess to be born again. You know what I believe? I believe they're a bunch of liars. They profess to be saved and are not saved. That's what I believe. Okay, now take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's look at verse 5. So there's some folks that profess to be saved and they're not saved. They're lost. They're going to hell like a bullet. They've deceived themselves. They think they're okay when they're not okay. They're lost and going to hell. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that doubts their salvation. Some Christians, they get in sin and get backslidden and get out of fellowship with God, and they doubt their salvation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that professes to be saved that's not. Now, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. So he tells you, check yourself out. Make sure you're saved. Examine yourself. Now, you're not to examine somebody else because you don't know their own heart. You don't know whether I'm saved or not. You just take my word for it. Amen? See? I'm saved, born again. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Who knows that? Me, the Lord, and the devil. Rest of you just take my word for that. Now, I take his word for it. He says he's saved. But I see some fruit. I see some fruit from salvation. Now, watch it. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove, underline that word. Prove your own selves. Now, look at the next word. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And unless you're a reprobate, you would not know, what would you wouldn't know? You would not know that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, look at here. Do you know that Jesus Christ is in your heart? Do you know that Jesus Christ is in your heart? You know that. There's a difference between hope so and know so. I know Jesus Christ is in my heart. I know that. I don't hope it. See, that's how you spot the difference. If you're unsaved, you don't know Jesus Christ is in you. And you should know. How many of you are here this morning? By an amen, say, I know that Jesus Christ is in my heart by faith. I've accepted him. Say amen.
Amen.
See, all these folks know they're saved. They don't hope they're saved. They know they're saved. Now again, take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And here's some folks that profess to be saved, but they're not saved. They look like they're saved to some extent, but they're not. Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and let's pick up verse 20. Now, here's a verse, Matthew 7, 20. Now, you want to underline this verse because it's a key verse. How do you spot those that are professed to be saved and are not saved? They look like they're saved, but they're not. How do you spot them? Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now underline it. How do you tell whether a man's saved or not? By his fruits. By their fruits you know them. So when a fellow bring forth certain fruits, you say, that's the fruit of a Christian, that's the fruit of a Christian, that's the fruit of a Christian. When I got saved, something changed inside. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. When I got saved, there was a change took place in my life. And a change took place in your life when you got saved. You know what that change was? It was an attitude on the inside towards holiness, towards sin. Before you got saved, sin didn't bother you. After you got saved, you got bothered about sin. Your attitude changed towards sin. Your attitude changed towards the Bible. Before I got saved, the Bible meant to me, it meant one word, read. And every time I heard the word read, a lump would come right to my throat, right there like that. And the Bible didn't have... When I got saved, that lump went away. Now look at here. When you got saved, your attitude towards the Bible changed. See? It's a change of attitude. You can tell it. You can tell them by their fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. Now, verse 21. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? So there are going to be some folks in the day of judgment. They're going to stand there and say to God, Lord, we prophesied in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we prophesied. Now, look at the rest of it. And in thy name, they got the right name. Write that in the margin of your Bible. They've got the right name. The name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So they got the right name. In thy name have what? Cast out devils. That's a pretty good thing, ain't it, folks? Come on. All right. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them... Now watch it. Take your pen and underline it. I never knew you. What does he say when he never knew you? That means he never knew him. He never knew him. Now he can't say that to me. Take your Bible and beside verse 22, write down 2 Timothy 2:19. Right beside the verse, write down 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Now let's turn to it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and pick up verse 19. Here's some folks that cast out devils. They prophesy in the name of Jesus. They do many wonderful works in the name of the Jesus. But when Jesus, on the day of judgment, said to them, I never knew you. He can't say that to me. Now watch it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 19. Now underline it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, underline it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Underline that in your Bible. the Lord knoweth them that are his. Then if Jesus Christ knows me and I know him, could he ever say to me, I never knew you? He'd have to be a liar. He'd have to be a liar to say that. He'd have to lie. Is Jesus Christ a liar? He's not a liar. God cannot lie. He never lies. So I know that he can never say that to me. That's who is that? That's somebody who professes to be saved, who is not saved, and they want people to think they're saved and Christians, and they're not. They're a bunch of liars. They don't know Jesus Christ. Now again, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Here we go again. Matthew chapter 13. There are some people who they profess to be saved, but they do not possess the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13. And let's look at verse 38. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Then the good seed are the saved people. All right, and the tares, it says, the tares are what? The children of the wicked one. So the tares are what? The tares are lost. Come on, children of the wicked one, that's the devil. Amen? So they're lost. And now take your Bible and look in the same passage. Look at verse 25. Let's pick up verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to men which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, the enemy, who's the enemy? That's the devil. That's the devil. The enemy that, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now take your pen and underline it. Sowed tares among the wheat. Where's the tares? Where's the unsaved people sowed at? Where are they sowed? They're sowed among what? They're sowed among the wheat like this. So there's the tares and the wheat together like that, and are sowed together. That's the unsaved people and the saved people together like that. There may be unsaved people right here this morning going to hell, and they're sowed among the tares just like that. See that? They're sowed together. Now again, look at the rest of it. And went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, underline that, brought forth fruit, then when can you tell the tares from the wheat? Then appeared the tares. When could you tell the tares from the wheat? Underline it in your Bible. When is it? When is it? When you can tell the tares from the wheat? By their fruit you shall what? Know them. So when they brought forth fruit, then you started to tell the difference between the tares and the wheat. You looked out there and said, there's a bunch of tares, there's a bunch of wheat. Now we can tell the difference because by their fruits. You can tell a guy by the fruit he has. What kind of fruit he produces forth. You can tell the difference between them. Some folks are saved, some folks are lost. It's an attitude. It's attitude toward Jesus Christ. Look here. An unsaved man, his attitude, and now you Christians that are born again, if I took the name of Jesus Christ right in vain right now, you know what would take place in your heart? Inside your heart would go, it would just, you could feel it taking place down there, and it would go, just kind of wrench your heart just like that, and you'd go, oh man. You could almost feel it. Amen. And unsaved people, you'd go, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? What do you mean, the name of Jesus? Well, they're taking it in vain. Well, what's he saying? It don't mean the same to you. It don't mean the same, brother. There's a difference. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. Now, again, take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 6. But while men what? Underline it. Men what? While men what? Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. But while men slept. So underline the word sleep. What is the cause of the tares being sowed among the wheat? It's sleeping Christians. Sleeping Christians. They're asleep. And then the devil comes along, sows the tares. That's the cause of it. Some fall asleep. But brother, don't fall asleep. Be wide awake. Be wide awake, brother. Why? Because then when the devil comes in, sowed the tares among the wheat. And, brother, we don't know how much tares sowed among the wheat, but they're there. Now, take your Bible and let's see it again. Let's see some things about it. Here's some things that a Christian needs to learn about it for his own benefit. If you're going to win some souls to Jesus Christ and you're going to witness like God wants you to witness, you need to keep some things in mind. Because the tares get sowed among the wheat. There's folks that profess to be saved and they're not saved. And you need to know how to spot them, know what causes them. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And let's pick up verse 4. Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 4. The same thing's in Matthew and the same thing's in Luke. I want you to get the one that's in Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 4. All right. Mark chapter 4, verse 4. And it come to pass, as he sowed, some fell upon the wayside. And the fowls of the air come and devoured it up. And some fell among stony grounds, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun rose up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. It didn't bring forth any fruit. And others fell among good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, go down to verse 14. Here's the sower going forth to sow the seed. If you know the story, say amen. Amen. All right. Verse 14. The sower sowed the word. The sower soweth the word. Then what is it? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. So every time you go out and put out a gospel tract, every time you go out and witness to somebody, you're sowing the Word of God. Right there it is. The sower soweth the seed. That is the seed. That's God's book. And you ought to sow the seed because it's going to bring forth fruit. People are going to get saved and go to heaven. Now it says in verse 15, And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when ye have heard, when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in the heart. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. And this is what I want you to see, the one on stony ground. Stony ground. Who, when they had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So this group here, the second group, the one in verse 16, the one on the stony ground, are the professors of salvation. They profess to be saved. But they're not saved. They look like they're saved, but they're not saved. Now see some things about them. First of all, I want you to notice here, it says in verse 16, and these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, receive it immediately with gladness, and have no root. So these profess to be saved, but they're not saved. What is the root? Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, you see what the root is. Isaiah 11:1, and it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall go out of his root. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10 in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse which will stand to the inside of the people, and it shall be a Gentile seed, and his rest shall be glorious. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is called the root. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Who is the root? The root is Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, and pick up verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's Jesus Christ. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root, root, out of the dry ground, and he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. And the whole passage down through there is talking about Jesus Christ, this whole passage. Now, this is the passage of Scripture that the Ethiopian was reading in Acts chapter 8 when Philip led him to the Lord. So we know this passage of Scripture is directly talking about Jesus Christ. He's called the root, the root. Now again, take your Bible and turn to Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 5 and pick up verse 5. Who is the root? The root's Jesus Christ. So these folks that profess to be saved are not saved. Turn to Revelation chapter 5 and pick up verse 5. Here it is again. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said unto him, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. How many know the Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus Christ? Say amen. Amen. All right. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Underline it. It's with a capital R. The root of David hath prevailed and opened the book and loosed the seven seals thereof. So Jesus Christ is the root. They don't have salvation. They don't have Jesus Christ in their heart by faith. They profess to be saved, but they're not saved. Now again, take your Bible. I'll just give you a few verses that you need to write down. I'll give you several of them. And I want you to write these down so you'll know without a shadow of a doubt that what these professors in Mark chapter 4 have is they don't have a root, they don't have Jesus Christ. Now write down Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. Write down Luke chapter 1 verse 32. Luke chapter 1 verse 32. Write down Revelation 22:16. Revelation 22:16. So you should have 5-6 verses showing you who the root is. Now take your Bible and turn back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's see some more things about these. Mark chapter 4. Let's pick up these that profess to be saved, but they're not saved. Then they receive the word with gladness, and they receive it for a while. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, and let's look at verse 5. And some fell among stony ground, while it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. Verse 5. So here it is. What happened? It didn't have any depth of earth. And it fell among some thorns there, and it wasn't very much earth. It was just a little bit of earth down there like that. Then what happened? The man plowing the ground didn't plow that part. He plowed over here. Now, you know anything about plowing some ground? How many know something about plowing ground? Say amen. All right. What happens? When the guy plows the ground and skips that part over there, it's real hard. Becomes hard pan. And so when the seed was sown there, the root couldn't get down and couldn't grow and couldn't get way down underneath the ground and grab a hold and get going. It didn't have any root, just like this. They threw the seed there, and because the ground was so hard, the root couldn't get down there and keep the moisture. No moisture would get down there. And therefore, it didn't get saved. You follow that? Was lost. So what happened? You got to plow the ground. You got to plow the ground real deep. Real deep, you got to plow the ground. What's the ground? The ground is the heart. So every Christian, every time that you witness, every time you go put out a gospel tract, every time you deal with somebody, you're plowing the ground. You're getting that heart worked around to where the seed can get in the heart and the seed can grow and get some depth. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They're not plowing the ground. Not plowing the ground. Dennis, a lot of the preaching you do down there in the street corner, you know what it is? It's plowing the ground. That's all it is. Just down there plowing the ground, getting that ground, getting some heart. Dug deep down in there till some Christian come along, witness to them later and get them saved. And he said, well, I'm not doing any good. You're plowing the ground. Every time you go witnessing somebody, you knock on the door and you say, well, I didn't get any results. Didn't get anything done. Oh, yes, you did. You was plowing the ground. You plowed the ground. Christian, you got to plow. Who likes to plow? It's cold outside. We don't like it. If you don't plow the ground, nobody can come along and sow the seed in there. And when they do sow the seed, it won't grow, won't get down. In the back of my church in Kalispell, I had a place back there, and I kept all my junk back there. And it become kind of a junk store back of the church, you know. And I'd collect my junk and put my old lumber that I wanted to save, you know. And I put my tires back there. And I had a big old pile of junk back there. And it just looked terrible. And one day somebody says, "Preacher, you going to clean that mess up?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going to clean it up." And I went back there and I just got rid of everything, took it to the junk, had it at a garage sale and got everything cleaned out of there. Everything cleaned out of there. And I thought, I'm going to plant grass back here. I said, "Preacher, don't you have enough grass to cut already? There's 3 acres of grass here. Don't you have enough?" "Yes, but I want to have a little bit more and get rid of all this junk." And so I went back there and I had an old building back there that I kept wood in. And I caught that wood of that building afire and I burned it right down to the ground and left a great big hole there in the ground. So I filled it in with dirt, filled that big old hole in with dirt. It was about this deep. And just filled all that loose dirt in that hole. And then the rest of it, I sowed this grass seed around there and sowed grass in where that old thing was, that big old deep hole, and it was all soft dirt in it. I sowed the grass seed there too and kept right on sowing and started watering it. And it started coming up. And everywhere, right there where I had that old shed that I burnt down, grass come up about that high real quick. But the rest of the place, it come up about that high, just barely made it. And I look around there and I say, "Now look at the grass right underneath there where all that loose dirt was right there. Man, it goes down about 4 feet real loose. Every time I watered it, water would go right down in there. And that grass would get grabbed, and the roots probably went down that deep and got lots of water, and the grass really grew. Boy, it was green and thick and heavy right there, and just very thin the rest of the place." You know what that's like? That's like, I wish now I had plowed the old thing up with a rototiller, which I didn't do. But I should have, because then the grass really got a hold. You know what a lot of Christians are doing? They ain't got a rototiller down there going, plowing the ground up. They don't get them a big disc and cut down real deep. Christian, plow the heart deep. Plow the heart deep. Get it deep. So when somebody sows the seed there, or you sowed the seed there, he'll get saved. He won't just be a professor and end up going to hell. It'll be the real thing. He'll have the root of Jesus Christ. Now, did you get the point? Then, brother, plow even when it's cold. Keep on plowing. Don't get discouraged plowing. Because you don't even see the seed. Seed hadn't been sown yet. Keep right on going. Right on going. Right on going. Don't get discouraged. When a guy, you knock on the door and the guy says, "Get out of here, plow!" And they'll just ring your ears like that and you go on down the street. Don't get worried. Don't worry about it. You're plowing the ground. You're plowing the ground. You're plowing the ground. Don't get discouraged in it. Now again, take your Bible and turn back to Mark chapter 4, and let's see some more things about the passage. Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, let's look at verse 16. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, "And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who, when they heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and have no root," underline it, "they're not saved, in themselves, and so endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." So what happens? The persecution comes their way. Persecution comes. They receive the Bible. They're glad. They're happy. They're excited. And you almost think they're saved. And they make a profession. And you almost think they're saved. And they receive the word and they're glad and happy. And then when persecution arises for what? Underline it. Persecution arises for what? Everybody say it. Then you got to suffer persecution for this book. You're going to get persecuted for believing the Bible. Now, did you hear what I said? You can get persecuted for believing the Bible. You mean to tell me you go up to that King James Bible church up there, they believe the King James Bible? King, you believe it's the Word of God, huh? I believe that right there, the King James Bible, is the Word of God. There's no mistakes in it. Every word in it is true. And there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. You know, that's fanatical with some folks. They persecute you for that, for believing that book. You come to this church, you're going to get persecuted for believing that book. At least you're supposed to. You're supposed to. You believe it. You know how you get persecuted? You put the Word of God out, and you put the Word of God out, and you say, I believe there's no mistakes in the Bible. Some guy says, well, I think some mistakes. And then he's gonna look at you a little cross-eyed, and then he's going to start persecuting you. And you're supposed to put up with persecution with it. Now, again in the passage, look at it. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 8. Turn to the Gospel of Luke and turn to Luke chapter 8 and see this same group again. Here they are. Luke chapter 8. And these are those that are sowed by the wayside. Here the same parable are given, Luke chapter 8. And let's pick up verse 4. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and would come unto him out of every city, he spake by a parable. Verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell, and it was treading down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6. This is one we want to see. Verse 6. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprang up, it withered away. Now take your pen and underline it. Because it lacked moisture. Now underline it. Because it lacked moisture. Then why do, when we sow the seed, sometimes we get professors instead of possessors? Why do we get those that look like they're saved when they're not saved? There was no moisture. There was no moisture. Now look at the same one again. Look at verse 12 in the same passage in Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Pick up verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. These by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So when you sow the word of God, what does a man do? He believes the Bible and he gets saved. Say amen if you know, understand that. Now, verse 13. And they on the rock are they which they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, there it is, they're not saved, which for a while believe. Now notice that. These for a while believe. It said believe. Now you need to write there, you need to write in the margin of your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Take your Bible and hold your hand in Luke chapter 8 and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now notice the difference. It did say they believed. You say, well, I think those folks are saved and they lost their salvation. No, they didn't. That's not it at all. You need to know the difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, now watch it, unless ye have what? Believed in vain. Now, what is believing in vain? Believing in vain is a head belief. Is a head belief. A lot of folks say, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe Jesus Christ was buried for 3 days and three nights. And I believe Jesus Christ arose from the grave. That may be a head belief or that may be a heart belief. The heart belief is what saves you. You got to believe it here and then you got to believe it here. My Bible says in Romans chapter 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. You believe in your heart, God will save you. You believe in your head and God won't save you. So it said, they believe. So what do we got to do? We got to get them to believe in the heart that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. It can't. You know, there are a lot of folks in this country, all over this country, they believe Jesus Christ died for their sins. You can ask them all over this country. You say, believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? Oh, yes, I believe that. You believe he was buried and rose again? Oh, yes, I believe that. But there's a difference between believing it here and believing it here. You've got to get it from here to here, and then God will save your soul, and boy, there'll be a difference take place. You'll see a difference, brother. You'll know the difference. You'll know that you walk from darkness to light, brother. You'll know it. You won't be guessing about it. You'll say, I know I got saved. Thank God I know. Now, you may forget the hour. Come on. You may forget the day. You may forget that. I grant you. I don't know exactly the exact... I forgot it. I wrote it down somewhere and then forgot it. So I've been saved for 35 years. I can't remember the exact date. I can't remember the exact year. But I'll tell you something. I know that I was born again. I walk from darkness into light. And you know the same thing. Now, again, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And I want you to notice again in the same passage, in verse 6, Luke chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "And some fell among a rock, and as soon as they were sprang up, they withered away because they lacked moisture." They lacked moisture. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 126. Psalms 126. They lacked moisture. Now turn to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. And in Psalms 126, I want you to look at verse 5. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5. Now take your pen and underline some things. "They that sow..." Now we've got Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4. It said the sower went forth to sow the seed. The seed is the word of God. And it's sowing in the heart. Sowing in the heart. "They that sow in what? Tears shall reap in joy. They that goeth forth weeping..." So sow the tears in verse 5. And the weeping in verse 6, "bringing precious seed. These doubtless shall come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them." What's that about? That's about a soul winner that goes out and sows the word of God. And some falls on a rock. And it doesn't get the root of Jesus Christ. There was no tears. Now where does the tears involve with being a soul winner? Where are the tears involved with a soul winner? I'll tell you where they are. You get a mother, and you say, "My mother is not saved. My mother is lost." And then you start bawling and crying about it. Or you say, "My daddy is lost." And you start bawling and crying about your daddy being lost. In my church, I have two young men. And their name is Buckler. And Ben and Cody Buckler. One's about 12 years old, the other's about 10 years old. And several years ago, they came to our church, about 15 years ago, they came. And every Sunday morning, whenever I preached a salvation message, Ben and Charlie Buckler would come down front and they would bawl and cry about their daddy getting saved. And I'd see him bawling and crying, this 10-year-old boy, 12-year-old boy, and I'd see him crying and I'd go down and I'd say, Ben, I know you're really bawling and hurt. Ben, what's the problem? Can I help you, Ben? He'd say, "My daddy's lost. My daddy's lost. Pray that God save my daddy." And that happened week after week after week after week. We'd go to Bible camp, and Ben and Cody would be bawling. And it just got to the place to where I just said, "I don't even have to go over there. I know what they're bawling about. I know they're bawling about their daddy getting saved." And I'd go over there, and month after month, year after year, I'd see Ben would be down there bawling. I mean, not just one week. It would be month after month after month after month. After a year. Went into the years. 10-15 years went by with that. And I look back one Sunday morning. I'm preaching on hell. And look back and I see Charlie Buckaloo back there. He came to church. Well, there's Charlie. I don't know. Preach it. That's what you got. Your message is hell. Preach it, man. And I preached on hell. Boy, I preached on it coming and going. And I got through with the message. Charlie Buckaloo got up and walked out the back door and he says, "Nobody can talk to me like that and get away with it. I'll never come back to this church again." Walked out the door. And a couple of weeks went by. And there's his boy down there bawling and crying right there. Ben was there and Cody was right beside him bawling. Just bawling out. I didn't even have to go ask them. I knew that they were bawling about Daddy. And a couple of weeks went by. Charlie Buckaloo was out in the woods and he cut down a tree. He's a sawyer. And he cut down a tree. Cut down a great big old tree and it hung up into another tree. And then so he left it and cut down another tree and cut down another tree and cut down another tree. And pretty soon he forgot about the one that was hung up in the other tree. And he walked around there and he walked over there and stood right underneath that tree. He stood underneath that tree and a little wind come up and all of a sudden he looked up and out come that big old tree out of that other tree. And he looked right straight up and that tree was coming right straight down at him. He just bent his head over like that, and that tree come down there and took Charlie and just grind Charlie down into the snow. He's about 4 feet of snow, and he just ground Charlie right down into the snow and smashed him in the ground and broke his back in four places. Broke his back in four places. And he laid right there in the snow and laid underneath that tree, and a couple men come over there and got the tree off of him, got him out from underneath the tree, and they called in the helicopter, and the helicopter flew down in there and landed down the road a little ways, and they come up and got him, put him in the helicopter, and took him down to the hospital. And he got down to the hospital, and I went up to the hospital and said, "Charlie, God's talking to you, and God's after your soul. God wants to save your soul, and you got two boys bawling and crying that God will save you from hell. Now you better get saved." He said, "Well, preacher, I'll do that one of these days." And I left the hospital. I left the hospital and went home. Went back up the next day and walked in that hospital and looked at Charlie's face, and I knew something had happened. I knew something had happened. He looked at me and said, "Preacher, I got saved. I got saved. I repented my sin. I don't want to go to hell. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm trusting in Him to save me." You know what I think saved him? Not my preaching on hell, where he got mad and walked out the door. I don't think that did the job. You know what I think did the job? Ben crying Sunday morning, and Cody crying and bawling Sunday morning, after morning, after morning, after their daddy going to hell, they put some water on the seed. They watered it. You know why a lot of folks are going to hell? Because nobody's watering it. Nobody's watering the seed. Nobody bawling and crying about people going to hell. They just come into church and everybody's dry-eyed and they get up and walk out the aisle and somebody says, "Well, they didn't get saved." They walk out, but nobody bawling and crying for them. You better do some bawling and crying for them or they're going to go to hell and they're going to burn. Maybe they're going to burn. You better shed some tears. There was no moisture and the ground wasn't plowed deep. Plow the ground deep. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Let's be dismissed. A word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning discern the difference between those that profess to be saved and those that aren't. Lord, you're the one that really is the judge of the matter. Lord, I don't know. I really can't tell myself, Lord. You're the only one that knows. You said, "Let every man examine himself." Every man examine himself. Whether he's saved or whether he isn't saved. I know that I'm saved, Lord. Thank you for washing me in your precious blood. And Lord, help me to plow the ground deep. And Lord, help me to water the ground for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Brother Martin.
Okay, we'll take about 10-12 minute break and then the preaching. Sit for it if at all possible.
2.
Number 2 in your red hymn. Number 10.
Amen. Okay, you can be seated. I'll make a couple announcements, and then I'll be done here. But just basically pertaining to Brother Nathan Bemis's offering, and this is to the church now, on the mission side of the box back there, what goes in, unless it'll be in a church envelope, it'll go to Brother Bemis, part of his love offering. Church, of course, generous with Brother Bemis. I'd like to ask you to do likewise. If you Wood, you also could designate, if it's in your envelope, it has to be designated, or we consider it regular church offering, or you can give it to myself, Brother Frank, or Brother Dennis. It'll go to Nathan Bemis. Appreciate each one that's here. Those that have stayed, we're glad that you getting all you can of the meeting. And we have one more night, one more service after this tonight, service time being 7 o'clock. The meeting's been good, and I'd like to ask you to try to get the rest of the meeting now, and perhaps God will have exactly what you need just in the finishing up of the meeting. Pray for Anna Mae Guerra. She had surgery on her eye yesterday about 1 o'clock and detached retina. Serious business. Be a couple of weeks before they know whether or not she will have sight, and it would be her left eye. So Anna Mae, in need of your prayers at this time. Surgery was yesterday. Also want to remind you that if you know somebody going through deep water, Nathan did preach a message last evening on suffering, and sign up for it and get it and give it to them. It'll be from the church to them. We feel like it was that good that it'd be a great blessing to somebody plodding through some deep water. Perhaps it'll get them through. Okay, let's sing real good now. Nathan will preach to us.
Number 63. I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love in all my darkness fled. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight.